This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
After that Christmas Day loss, the Chiefs are now 6-10, one game remaining in the season against the Las Vegas Raiders. So everybody collectively is just looking forward to the offseason and what happens with this Chiefs team, because it is a massive offseason, potentially the biggest in Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Brett Veach's tenure with the Chiefs thus far. And on the line with us now to break it down a little bit, to discuss a little bit of it, is Jordan Foote. He is a writer for Heavy Sports, formerly of the Chiefs on SI. He's a good friend of mine. Jordan, I mean, at this point, there's no real reason to talk about what's going on the field. So I feel like it's a better use of our time to sort of get ahead of the curve a little bit on what's going to be happening off the field in conference rooms and in meeting rooms this offseason, because the Chiefs have a lot of work to do with this roster.
Yeah, no doubt. Anytime you get, 9 or 10 first downs on that Christmas Day game, there's just not too much to talk about. And given the Raiders' experience over the weekend and how much they need that number one pick, I think we're going to see a generational tank-off type battle to close out the season. But the Chiefs, they're locked into what's going to be, if you're a Chiefs fan, hopefully the best pick, or I guess worst pick, depending on how you want to look at it, of the Patrick Mahomes era. You're anticipating them not getting a pick this high in the first round of the NFL draft for quite some time. They can do some damage with that, but also this team needs a little bit more than just one draft pick. They're going to have some key free agent decisions to make. There might be a trade that perhaps divides the fan base on Twitter. I know that everyone has been in off-season mode for a few weeks now, and everyone's kind of doing their mock off-season, mock draft, mock trade simulations, all of that good stuff. It's going to take a little bit to get this team back to where it was. Now, they do have the hard part figured out in the quarterback position, and I think that Patrick Mahomes will be just fine coming off the ACL, but you do want to do your best if you're the Chiefs to insulate the roster and make life a little bit easier for him next year.
So first thing I want to look at is the off season for this Chiefs team, the amount of guys who are on expiring contracts right now. As of now, SpotTrac has 27 guys for the Chiefs as potentially impending free agents. Now, a couple of those guys are exclusive rights free agents and restricted free agents, but there are a handful of guys that the Chiefs are going to have to make some pretty serious decisions about, right? Hollywood Brown and Charles Omenihu, namely guys like Brian Cook and Leo Chenal and Jalen Watson, even Isaiah Pacheco. How many, I mean, looking at the 27, and you probably don't have the list right out in front of you right now, I would assume, but of these 27 guys, how many can you justifiably anticipate the Kansas City Chiefs being able to retain for next year? And is that number going to be enough, in your opinion?
So in the upset of the century, I did cheat a little bit and pulled up the list and was looking at it right before I started with you. And it's kind of an unimpressive list. I do think that a lot of those guys, like the Jerry Tillery's, the Bob Tunyon's, the Mike Edwards's of the world, you can afford to lose. But also, there are some legitimate names on there. And I don't mean legitimate as in all of them are good, but legitimate in terms of the thought you're going to have to put into A, whether you bring the player back or not, and B, more importantly, what you do to replace them. Like, if a Brian Cook does leave, and I think you can feasibly bring him back, your safety room is going to have to get something together. And I think the version of Chamari Connor that we have a few years in here in Kansas City is no longer kind of the prospect that he once was. Leo Chanel, is it a Willie Gay Jr. situation where maybe you miss the spark he brings to the defense, but he's not an every down bona fide player? You have to weigh that. I think the big two, though, would be probably Cook and Jalen Watson. And I've seen a lot of trade Trent McDuffie talk on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it these days. That only makes sense if Jalen Watson's back in a Chiefs jersey. I don't think you can roll out Christian Fulton and Noel Williams and Chris Roland Wallace, whoever you want your nickel to be, and say, okay, well, that's our cornerback group, and Brian Cook is gone, and Trent McDuffie's gone, and hey, we got a first-round pick out of it. The secondary is sneaky important. I see a lot of running back talk, a lot of defensive line talk, some right tackle stuff, because even with guys who aren't free agents, like a Noah Gray, a Mike Dana, a Jawan Taylor, the Chiefs might have to make some tough decisions to free up the requisite cap space to navigate the offseason, and that's going to require Clark Hunt to also invest in some cash spending like he did this past offseason. So top three positions, or I guess groups of need, you're going to have to see what they do at running back, especially with Pacheco gone and Kareem Hunt getting a year older. Wide receiver has my eye, seeing what they do there. Defensive line as a whole, but really that secondary is kind of flying under the radar as a sneaky important thing, because A, there are so many possibilities and paths they can take, but B, it's a slippery slope if you don't pull the right levers over the next few months.
You mentioned Leo Chenal, and my producer today, Nathan Williams, was talking to me about this prior to the show, that, you know, he thinks that a cap casualty for the Chiefs this season may end up being Drew Tranquil, that you potentially allow him to go, you know, you give him an outright release or you trade him, and that gives you some cap availability to bring Leo Chenal back. What are your thoughts on that possibility? Do you think that's a benefit or a hindrance for the Chiefs?
I can see it happening because Tranquil is now on the wrong side of 30, I believe, and they're going to get only $1.5 million in dead money to part ways with him this offseason. You're saving $6 million against the cap. So could that $5 million or $5.5 million, whatever the number is, can that go towards directly extending Leo Chenal and saying, okay, let's get a 3-year, I don't know, $24 million deal done, something like maybe what they did with Mike Dana when he was extended? I think that's possible, but also Leo Chenal is extremely difficult to get a true read on his market. Like, he is a Willie Gay Jr. spark plug type player. I don't think that he's an every down linebacker. I don't think he's the same type of player as Drew Tranquil. Now, is that ruling out projecting him to be that? Absolutely not. I think that the athletic profile is there. He's fantastic downhill. The coverage grades are always good, regardless of the sample size. So I could see it. Now, I do think that if you lose Drew Tranquil, you're going to have to replace him with a different player. Is that going to be Jeffrey Bassett? Like, do they have that solution in-house? That's possible, but I kind of have a weird feeling that of all the cap casualties they have, Tranquil probably sneaks through and makes it back for one more year, but I'm not implying that that's definitely the right move to make.
So, I mean, you say he may not be one of the cap casualties. Who are some of the names that you see possibly being amongst those that are traded away or given their outright release to give this Chiefs team a little bit more flexibility when it comes to retaining other guys or possibly bringing in people via free agency?
Yeah, I think Jawan Taylor is the pretty obvious one, and extending him, I guess, could have a similar effect, but I just don't think that's going to happen. at this point, he would incur a $7.4 million dead cap charge, but they'd save 20. So he is the easy lever, quote unquote easy, to make something happen. Mike Dana, his days are probably numbered. I do think that the Noah Gray decision is interesting because when he signed that deal, most people were okay with it and said, okay, well, worst case, he could probably be a bottom five tight end one and get you by if Travis Kelce retires. Then he comes back and just the stats regressed. He didn't look nearly as athletic as he did, which wasn't elite to begin with. He regressed across the board. Now you're thinking, okay, well, maybe something has to happen there. Maybe they dip into not getting rid of George Karlaftis, but restructuring that contract they just did. Seeing what they can do with Chris Jones, you can only kick the can down the road so much. But looking across what they have, the easy button, quote unquote, is to do something with Juwan Taylor, probably a cut. I don't think that he'd quite have enough of a trade market to make something happen. And then you kind of trickle down to Tranquil being possible, Mike Dana, I would say, being likely, Noah Gray being on the table. They have some moves, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to make restructures. You're going to have to revisit the table with Patrick Mahomes, and he already has some pretty crazy cap hits coming up. So I don't envy the job Brett Veach has to do, but also you're kind of paying the price for, my money, the best run in the history of the sport over the past 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, the Piper, you got to pay him eventually, right? And, you know, looking at the draft in April, you know, the mocks are out in full force right now, and that's to be expected with the season going the way that it has so far. Chiefs are holding on to the 9th pick as of this moment, and I'm curious from your perspective, who's the player, what's the position that you think the Chiefs should attack with the 9th overall pick? I am of the opinion that it should not and cannot be running back, but I'm curious if you agree or disagree with that.
I'm extremely infatuated by this. And the Falcons, of course, play the Rams tonight, and the Rams own that pick. So regardless of what happens, they're going to be getting a pretty premium one. The Falcons and Saints play next week, and I believe Cincinnati has Cleveland. So like the teams that the Chiefs are directly competing with don't exactly have crazy matchups to end the year. But even if they end at 9 or 10 or 11 or somehow, I think there's a very, very slim chance that they end up with 8, they're going to get their pick of a really impressive player. Now, the Jeremiah Love thing I get in a vacuum, but then every time you peel back a layer of that onion, it makes less and less sense. Like, I think your real solution is spending a little bit of money on a Rico Dowdle, Ken Walker. Maybe you go to the Breece Hall sweepstakes, and yes, you are paying more money up front, but you're getting a more proven commodity, and I think you're not relying on a rookie with that premium of a draft pick. So then you just go position by position. Is it Jordan Tyson from Arizona State at wide receiver? And you kind of look over some of those injury things. Is it Mekhi Lemon from USC, who I think is a kind of Chiefs style player? Carnell Tate is the obvious one at that position, but just not sure he's going to be there. Kenyon Sadiq, the tight end from Oregon, has got a bleep ton of buzz just as a potential heir to Travis Kelce, successing him if he does retire. But I have my eyes on the defensive line, Logan, whether it's Peter Woods from Clemson, I'm really high on him. You go to the edge spot, Keldrick Falk from Auburn, I'm personally not too high on him. Reuben Bain seems to have the biggest range of outcomes. Some podcasts and analysts have him maybe as an early day two pick. Some people still think he's a top 5 to 10 guy. And then going to Patrick Mahomes' alma mater, David Bailey is a really fun prospect, and I think it's a good year to need a defensive lineman at the very top. The Chiefs just so happen to be pretty close to that range this year, and I do think that whether it's on the inside or the outside, you have to give Chris Jones some help and also maybe even plan for the eventual life without Chris Jones.
This Jordan Foote, he is a writer for the Chiefs with Heavy Sports, formerly of Sports Illustrated. Jordan, appreciate you taking the time this morning, my man. As always, especially, you know, last minute getting a hold of you. Really enjoy talking.
Yep, have a great holiday, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate you very much. Again, Jordan Foote of HeavySports.com. You can go check him out there. He's been a longtime writer and reporter for the Chiefs, good friend of mine. Always enjoy being able to have him on. And, you know, the conversation about Jeremiah Love and taking a running back in the top 10, we will absolutely be revisiting that topic, although I can see on Nathan's face already he is not super excited about the idea of talking running back, but it's what people are throwing around all the time. I've looked at three mock drafts this morning, Nathan. They all have the Chiefs taking Jeremiah Love 9th overall.
In what world would we waste a top 10 pick on a running back? I don't care if that running back is Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry. First of all, the Chiefs have not identified successfully running backs in the draft, in the Brett Veach era. I love Isaiah Pacheco. He has definite, like, fatal flaws to his game, right? Like, he flamed out pretty quickly, and, you know, the injuries accelerated that, of course. But, like, every significant asset the Chiefs have spent on running back under Brett Veach has not hit. I mean, Jerick McKinnon is probably the most successful bang for your buck they've brought into this room since the Kareem Hunt pick in 2017. Like, I just don't trust this regime, first of all. Now, I think Jeremiah Love would be the clear, by far and away, selection in that range. So I don't think they'd mess this one up in terms of running back talent. Look, I don't plan on the Chiefs drafting anywhere near the top 10 for the next half decade under Mahomes and Andy Reid. There are two options. One is a bona fide pass catcher, a number one target for Patrick Mahomes. And that can't be a gadget slot type guy. It must be a possession type receiver, or I'll hear you out on Kenyon Sadiq from Oregon, like Jordan mentioned, or a pass rusher. Those are the only two options.
Yeah, I loved him mentioning Peter Woods. Now, the thing that scares me about the possibility of a guy like a Peter Woods is you're going to have to hope that he falls to you, because I think he's a top five talent. I think Peter Woods out of Clemson is a dominant interior force. He is a Quinnen Williams type. He is a big-bodied, large, two-gap eater of an individual who has some pass-rushing skills. The problem is you're hanging your hat on the possibility of him falling to you at 9, which I don't know if is a true possibility. I like Sadiq out of Oregon. I just don't know if he's a top 10 pick. I don't know if he's that level of talent. It's going to be fascinating to watch it all unfold, and we'll talk more about it here later on. But for the moment, I'd like to get to the trash of the day.
Trash of the day.
This is absolutely ridiculous. The things that people spend their money on is boggling to the mind. I saw this story yesterday from the Associated Press. The headline is, last U.S. cents sold at auction for $16.76 million were worth a pretty penny. Now, for those who don't know, the penny, the production of the coin, has been circulated out. That came back in November, right? They said that they're no longer going to make the penny. At auction last Thursday, the U.S. Mint sold 232 3-cent sets of pennies for $16.76 million. Pennies being sold for millions of dollars. That's what we're spending our money on? Really? It makes no sense to me. You're spending millions of dollars on something that, if you were to try to spend it, would be worth one whole collective cent.
In this economy, it couldn't be me. I mean, it literally couldn't be me, because literally I don't have access to those sorts of funds. This is a world that I don't live in. So before you fire off your texts, I understand, like, supply and demand, basic economics. When something is sparse, it drives up the price. But I feel this way whenever a vintage sports card gets auctioned for millions of dollars, or, like, you know, a baseball that was a significant moment, like even like a Barry Bonds home run that goes for millions, and people are like killing each other over this ball when it gets hit into the stands. Anything like this, it's just a tax bracket that I don't comprehend, Logan. So I'm with you 100%. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense when it's the penny and, like, it literally has a value. Like, you could spend it in currency and it will yield you a certain return. I don't understand.
So, again, maybe it's just because it's a world that it's a world I don't understand. Like, I can understand people spending millions of dollars on an autographed home run baseball. I can understand people spending, maybe not millions of dollars, but thousands, tens of thousands of dollars on, like, baseball cards, basketball cards, football cards, those sorts of things.
It's a more normal thing.
Those feel logical to me. But when you're spending millions of dollars on a currency that is worth exactly 1 cent as a collector's piece, I just don't understand.
Okay. How much would you have paid for one of those pennies?
Probably
you pay more
zero.
Than a penny, right?
I'd pay zero, frankly. I have no care in the world towards a penny. Like, there's a reason they're going out of production in the first place, because nobody uses them anymore. Like, if I give somebody cash and I get a penny back as my change, it's going to end up in the cup holder or the floorboard of my car. Oh. It's going to end up on the street for some unknown reason. Or, like, when you were a kid, you'd put it in that, you know, like, you had, like, a big 10-gallon, like, water bucket that you'd put it in, and it was sort of like a vacation savings thing that never happened. I just don't, I can't wrap my mind around $16 million for a set of pennies.
I'm that way with any coins. If you hand me coins back, it's going in whatever little jar, donation jar, tip jar, whatever little fund you have on the counter at your gas station or restaurant. I'm not carrying quarters around on my person either. Right?
I yearn for the day where coins were actually worth something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're just not pulling them out of your pocket and scraping them together anymore like you used to. It just, no. I don't get it. Like I said, you say you get it when it comes to sports cards and stuff. I don't value those things as high as the rest of the public. So, like, but I at least understand.
Yeah.
So I'm with you on that. I understand the thought process behind it. Yeah, the fact that these coins actually do have a literal value, it makes it more head-scratching to me. And also, like, what's preventing the penny from being produced again in the future? Maybe I just don't know that much about the situation, but, like, couldn't this always be undone?
Probably,
right?
Yes.
Like, Barry Bonds is not going to break the record again and hit another baseball, right?
Yeah.
Like, what guarantee do you have this is the last penny produced?
Right, yeah. Imagine spending millions of dollars on what you believe to be the last pennies ever produced in the United States, and then a year from now it's like, no, we're going to ramp production of the penny back up 2 years, 3 years, 4 years down the road, and all of a sudden that millions of dollars worth of coins that you spent on that you thought had some sort of resale value is all of a sudden worth quite literally 1 cent again, and you're like, oh, well, that was fun. That was cool while it lasted. Glad I spent millions of dollars on that to try to get myself a tax break or whatever. 913-586-7965. The Chiefs Red Half Hour is coming up next. We've got some conversations to be had. We already visited it a little bit with the Chiefs having the 9th overall pick. A lot of conversation about running back, about Jeremiah Love. What do we think? A potentially new offensive coordinator in Kansas City, and much more here on Cody and Gold. Logan Weber filling in for Cody and Alex. Nathan Williams filling in for Drew here on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour here on Cody and Gold. Logan Weber alongside Nathan Williams. The Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Right now, the Chiefs are holding on to the ninth overall pick. And in my view, they should go anywhere but running back. I don't think you can justify using a top 10 pick on a running back. It just, the value of a ninth overall pick versus the value of running backs as they're seen in the NFL today do not work with one another. They just don't. I think that there are solid running back options that you can find in rounds 2, 3, maybe even 4 that can be really good players. Are they going to be as good as Jeremiah Love? Maybe not, but I mean, reaching into the top 10 for, yes, a position of need in running back. I will not argue that. Anybody who says the Chiefs don't have a need at running back is not watching the game or lying to themselves. This team has needs in other places, other positions that there's a justification for using a top 10 pick on. Defensive tackle, defensive end, you know, even tight end, I guess. But even then, I'm hesitant on using a top 10 pick on a tight end. I like Jeremiah Love, but there are other areas of this Chiefs team that need help, and you can use them more. You can alleviate that concern more effectively with a top 10 pick than you can running back.
I'm usually against the tight end at this part of the draft as well. Just like running back, I do think Sadiq out of Oregon has the potential to be very special. He's one of those guys where you watch the tape and you fall in love with him. He'll be out there on New Year's Day against Texas Tech in the college football quarterfinal. You know, looking forward to that one. The good thing is, well, it's usually not a good thing. We act as though the draft and free agency happen at the same time, right? You don't know what's going to happen in the draft, so you can't bank on we're going to get this position when you're filling out your team in free agency. I would therefore rather not bank on a skill position player being there. I'd rather go sign a veteran wide receiver, either bring back Kelce or sign a veteran tight end, sign a veteran running back, and plan on taking best available on the D-line. There's way more to it than that. I understand Spags has a long list of traits that he wants in his D-linemen, especially his edge rushers. We don't know. We don't know if Woods is going to be there or Bailey or Jordan Foote mentioned Bain out of Miami. We don't know. Tyson, Tate, Sadiq, heck, Jeremiah Love might be gone when the Chiefs pick. You just don't know how it'll fall out. I think the safest bet is to take an edge rusher, to just bank on taking someone on that D-line. I think that's the best team-building pick as well. I think that D-line room is worse than the wide receiver room right now. But I think you can go into the draft flexible, especially if you do like Kenyon Sadiq. The one thing you can't do is pick a running back. You just can't.
No. And, you know, I'm looking at, and again, I give people grief sometimes, and I have over the last couple of weeks of people getting into the mock draft season way too quickly. But looking at, like, and I've said this name before on After Hours, and I guess I'll say it on this show as well. I really, really like Emmett Johnson out of Nebraska. And I don't say that lightly. Anybody who knows me knows that I am arguably the biggest Iowa Hawkeye fan you will meet. So me saying something complimentary about a Nebraska Cornhusker carries some merit in my view. Emmett Johnson, I think, is a really good running back. And I think that he's a really good fit for what the Chiefs want to do. Because Nebraska runs under Matt Rhule, you know, it's a very West Coast zone blocking sort of scheme where running backs need to have the ability to exhibit patience in the backfield, to wait for holes to open up, to read their blocks well, take cutback lanes if there's an opportunity present, and even catch the ball out of the backfield a little bit. Emmett Johnson can do all of those things. I watched Emmett Johnson run for 200 yards on Iowa's defense back on Black Friday. And Iowa has a top 10 rushing defense in college football every single year. I went back and I watched a couple of hours of his tape. Really, really impressed with him. He's a younger back in this draft class. He's a true junior who's coming out. He's 21 years old. And this year was really his only year of true usage at Nebraska. You know, looking at his college stats over the course of his career, he had 250 carries this past year with the Cornhuskers, but he only had about 200 in the two previous years before that. So not a lot of wear and tear on the tires. He led the Big Ten in rushing this year, and he can catch the ball. He had 46 catches for 370 yards for Nebraska this season as well, an average of about 8 yards per catch. He's got decent size for the running back position. I think he is capable of being a three-down back in the National Football League. At 5'11", 200 pounds, and you can get him in the third round if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, especially if you're looking at a top 10 pick in each round of this upcoming draft. You can nail a guy like that in the late 60s, early 70s of the NFL draft, and I don't think you're going. Is he going to be as wow a guy as Jeremiah Love? Maybe not. But Jeremiah Love has been used a lot for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish over the last 2 years. I think a guy like an Emmett Johnson in the third round makes a ton of sense. And if you can nab like a Peter Woods, if he can fall to you at 9 or 10, and you can pair him with Chris Jones on the interior, that's a really, really good interior defensive line. And then you can go across and look at other positions. You know, like I'm doing a mock draft as we speak right now. And in this mock draft, Peter Woods goes to 10 or 9. So pick up Peter Woods. In the second round of the draft, LT Overton from Alabama nabbed him, then Emmett Johnson in the third, and somehow in this mock draft, completely unrealistic and will not actually happen, in my opinion, Eli Stowers out of Vanderbilt was still there in the fourth round of the draft. Mm-hmm. No shot that happens in April, but it's like, hey, all right, there's a tight end because I happen to be very, very high on Eli Stowers out of Vanderbilt. I know a lot of people are talking about Sadiq or the kid from Ohio State, the tight end with the Buckeyes, but I think Eli Stowers is an elite athlete with elite size at the tight end position and would really fit well as a vertical threat tight end in the Chiefs offense.
Yeah, I think if the Chiefs spend a significant asset on a running back, whether it is paying Breece Hall what he's going to get, which the Chiefs absolutely should not do, whether it's drafting Jeremiah Love around the top 10, which they absolutely should not do, Chiefs fans are going to be upset next season when the backup is again Kareem Hunt and they're splitting carries. We're going to be saying, why did we pay all this money or use this draft pick for this running back and we're not using him full time? Like the days of a three down running back, especially in an Andy Reid offense, seem like they're over. So I think even if you want to fix the running back room, I'm not for using a premium asset on that. I am pro shop in the mid-tier free agent market, the Kenneth Walker bin, if we're lucky. He's probably on the high end of what I'm describing here, and spend a day two draft pick on a running back as well. You turned me on to Emmett Johnson out of Nebraska a few months ago, right? I'm a college football fan that watches, you know, more for the tape, the film, the scouting in the spring than I do the actual product in the fall. So thanks for doing that. It's been fun watching him this fall. I've enjoyed watching him as a player. Man, whether it's him or whether it's the other Notre Dame running back, that Price kid,
yeah.
I want you shopping in that bin with a mid-tier free agent, not a premium asset and putting all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, somebody in the text line mentioned Nicholas Singleton from Penn State is another viable option. He's probably in that third round range as well. And, you know, I think that talking about free agent running backs, Breece Hall at the top of the heap, I think paying him that amount of money is probably not super safe in my view. That feels like you're going a little bit too far in that sense. What about like a Kenneth Walker from Seattle? You know, I very, very of the belief that the Seahawks are going to be willing to move on and they're not going to fight back very hard with Zach Charbonnet and the day that he had over the weekend there. So I think Kenneth Walker has explosiveness left in the tank. You know, if you can pair him with a running back that you drafted in the mid rounds, kind of like what Seattle's done with him and Zach Charbonnet, then he doesn't have to be an every down back because the injury concern is certainly there with Kenneth Walker. I think that that's a viable option. I like what I see from Kenneth Walker. There's explosiveness to his game. There's an ability to do things off script and cut back and do those sorts of things. I mean, he had like a 20-yard run yesterday in that game where it was just a stretch off the right side, and it gets absolutely swallowed up. He completely reverses field and goes to the left. When's the last time you saw a Chiefs running back do that?
Broke a few tackles against the Rams in the week before on that Thursday night game. He is the one in my we've talked about mock off seasons, mock free agencies. That's been my plan, is Kenneth Walker and a mid-round rookie. I just think Breece Hall, and the text line has we've got a few texts about Travis Etienne as well. I think we're going to be surprised with the numbers that these guys get. Now, Etienne, I don't think is on the level as Hall, but I think the league's going to value him more, and I think Walker's going to be that guy that maybe doesn't get the big contracts. That's a much more palatable option in free agency for the Chiefs. So that's exactly the kind of plan I'd like to see the Chiefs go for, a mid-round free agent or mid-tier free agent and a mid-round rookie, not a $15 million a year contract with Breece Hall, not a top 10 pick in Jeremiah Love at all.
No, don't draft a running back ninth overall just to pay him in the top half of running backs in the National Football League in the hopes that it works out. Okay, and maybe that's just PTSD because the Chiefs have gone running back in the first round before very recently, and it absolutely blew up in their face. All right, one thing that I saw on social media, continuing with our Chiefs Red Half Hour here on Cody and Gold, is this hypothetical scenario that fans are throwing out. And frankly, I don't know how, you know, it's maybe not entirely hypothetical. There's obviously an area where it exists, but people are throwing out this scenario. If you could only pick one, just one, okay? I know that people would say, well, I'd like to re-sign all three, or I'd like to re-sign two out of the three. In this exercise, you can only choose one of these three players: Leo Chenault, Jalen Watson, Brian Cook. Of those three players, if you only could pick one, who should the Chiefs re-sign? And I feel like this is going to go in three very different directions. I don't feel like, I mean, this may skew one way versus another, but I feel like you're going to find people who would say any one of those three names, depending on their thought process.
Well, if a contract is not included here, because I've seen this hypothetical on social media and it includes contract numbers. If we're not talking about that, if we assume they're just going to get their market value, it's got to be Jalen Watson. If you're bringing back Jalen Watson with the Noel Williams and the Fultons lower on the depth chart, with Brett Veach's propensity for drafting and developing corners in the mid rounds, if you bring back Jalen Watson, that means you can move on from a Trent McDuffie and get a significant asset, whether that's a high second or a low first. In my opinion, I do think Trent McDuffie would bring back that sort of a haul. He's not going to get a Sauce Gardner package, but it's a significant asset, even though that team that gets him has to pay him. I do not think this team is re-signing Brian Cook, unless it is a towards the veteran minimum bin, which I don't think Brian Cook's living in. I think he's going to get more than that. I think over the cap has him valued at around $10 million. And I think Spags is missing that safety. I'm not sure for me it's the best team building option, but I think Spags has had that Ty Matthew, that Justin Reed so far in Kansas City, and I think they're spending a more premium asset on safety than maybe fans believe. Leo Chenault, I'd love to bring him back. I just don't know what his market value is. So
nobody
for me, I'm going to go Jalen Watson.
Nobody seems to know what the market value of Leo Chenault is at all. I mean, I've seen people have his market value as low as $4 million. I've seen it as high as $12 million. People just don't really know what to make of Leo Chenault. And I thought it was interesting with Jordan Foote, who we were talking with earlier, who said that, you know, he doesn't really have a high snap count in the league so far. When he's on the field, he's really good, and his grades prove that. You know, his pass coverage grade, his run stopping grades, he's really, really good when he's out on the field. He's just not out there
a whole lot,
which is strange.
I do want to clarify, I don't think that the Chiefs should just that Leo Chenault is next up for Drew Tranquil. They don't quite play the same position. Leo Chenault is usually more on the strong side, setting the edge or spying the quarterback, and Drew Tranquil is more on the weak side. So it would involve a Jeffrey Bassa or another linebacker getting drafted or acquired. So to tie this game in this week, I want to see more of Jeffrey Bassa.
Mm-hmm.
If you can really have Leo Chenault at around $5 million a year, thank you, Drew Tranquil. I'm moving on from you. I'm elevating Bassa, and I'm paying Chenault on the other side of that linebacker room. But for right now, I just don't know. I think it's closer to what Jordan Foote mentioned, which was a 3 for 24. I think that's closer to what Leo Chenault might get in free agency. But I thought the same thing about Mike Dana last year, and then, you know, he comes back. The market falls through. So, you know, that is to be determined. I do not think this team is bringing back Brian Cook, though.
No, I don't either. I mean, he would be third on this list for me. Frankly, I like Leo Chenault as a player better than I do Jalen Watson, but I have to say, from a value standpoint and what it could mean for the opportunities and availabilities for the rest of the team, if I had to just pick one, I'd probably pick Jalen Watson. Like you said, you know, signing Jalen Watson, or re-signing, I should say, Jalen Watson to a longer-term deal, a 3 for 45 or what have you, allows for you to trade Trent McDuffie, who after next year is going to want to be, and rightfully so, among the highest paid corners in football. And that's not something that the Chiefs have ever been willing to do with anybody in the past. And for a guy who is a really good outside corner, but certainly fits the scheme as a slot corner much better. And I hate that I'm sitting here like more or less knocking Trent McDuffie, because that's not what I'm trying to do. He's a phenomenal football player, but he doesn't generate a ton of interceptions. He's better as a slot corner than he is an outside corner. You know, all those things coincide with, do you really want to pay that guy $25 to $28 million a year when you could possibly trade him away and get a first round pick, or even an early second round pick, and maybe a day three?
And I think the dominoes keep falling more than that. I'm sorry to cut you off. It's so situational for me. Like, You can see Noel Williams replacing that role Trent McDuffie takes. So in addition to not spending that cap, in addition to not seeing a drop-off because you still have Watson on the outside, in addition to getting a premium asset back from McDuffie, you also trust your GM and think, okay, they need to backfill the bottom end of this room. They can do that with a fourth-round pick, a fifth-round pick. They can turn anything into a viable corner in the NFL under Brett Veach. So there's just so many dominoes that fall from trading Trent McDuffie, and I don't want to do that. Trent McDuffie, great player, great person. Would love to have a guy like that in the locker room long-term. I just think it makes the most sense if you can meet Jalen Watson, because again, his market could blow up to more than maybe what we think it could be, which is where around that 15 a year range.
Last thing I've got here for our Chiefs Red Half Hour, just really quickly, you know, it's been unveiled over the last couple of weeks, something that wasn't discussed a lot of. I think most people were just talking about fire Matt Nagy, but many of us now under the realization that his contract is set to expire at the end of the year, right? There's been no reports made of any kind of extension in the works. If there were, I feel like there would be a great deal of pushback from the fan base and those outside of the organization, certainly. So I'm not really sure that Matt Nagy's back next year. I mean, right, his name's being thrown around for head coaching gigs and all these other things. And I feel like if there was a plan in place to bring Matt Nagy back, the extension would have already been put in place, you know, after winning one of those two Super Bowls or after getting to a third. So I'm of the belief Matt Nagy, there is no way he's back in Kansas City next year. So the question becomes, who's the next OC? Who would you like to see take over as the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs? And depending on who that person is, Is there any scenario where Andy relinquishes play calling duties? You know, I'd love to see if the Giants hire a full-time guy, possibly bring back like a Mike Kafka, right? Who's worked with Mahomes directly. Yes, he's affiliated with the organization, but he's had opportunities elsewhere. He's been a head coach, you know, more or less with the Giants, and Andy might be willing to relinquish play calling duties. Outside of that, there's not really a name that springs to mind. Maybe like a Cliff Kingsbury. Right. I mean, that's a name that's out there. Right. After the success he had in Washington last year, they've sort of sputtered this year, and you got the relationship with Mahomes. Somebody says Mike McDaniels, but I don't think Miami's going to fire him, to be honest. They have absolutely outperformed over the last two and a half months after the struggles early in the year.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sure we'll get more into this. I know we're up against the break, and we do have Andy Reid live at noon. But Cliff Kingsbury is the name for me, and we can touch on that later.
Absolutely. 913-586-7965 is our number. Cody and Gold here on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber, Nathan Williams. We got Andy Reid in his weekly Monday presser next here on your home for Kansas City sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.